This is Speaking of Sports with Jim Daniels on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day. And now, it's Jim Daniels.
Glad you chose us, and you're going to hang out and make us a part of your day. Really like that. Jim Daniels with you on NBC Sports Radio. NBCSportsRadio.com. The mobile app is yours, free. Hundreds of radio stations from coast to coast. Satellite radio, we got you covered all the way around this beautiful planet Earth. Muhammad Ali was laid to rest on Friday in his hometown. The city of Louisville celebrated his life, the life of its hometown son, as the world looked on. The legacy he leaves behind is vast, champion of boxing being just one of the many incredible achievements. Mixed martial arts and the UFC have become overwhelmingly popular in the sports fighting world, the UFC having its 200th telecast later on this month. Josh Gross is the author of the upcoming book, Ali versus Inoki, The Forgotten Fight That Inspired Mixed Martial Arts and Launched Sports Entertainment. Ali versus Inoki is the first comprehensive look at how the fight impacted MMA on a global scale. It comes out on June 21st, coincidentally, right before the UFC 200 in Las Vegas, and just in time for the 40th anniversary of Ali and Inoki's fight on June 26, 1976. Josh joins us now to discuss his latest work. Josh, welcome to NBC Sports Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure to have you with us this morning. Josh, you're considered a pioneer of mixed martial arts journalism, and your reporting spans MMA's path from an underground counterculture to multi-billion dollar industry. Was this fight or exhibition match between Ali and Inoki the first mixed sports match that the world witnessed on a global level?
Well, I think it was the first one that many people in the world took notice to, especially during a time when you're talking about new technologies coming online, like satellite, which led to closed circuit, where people in any arena across the world could sit and watch an event at the same time. It wasn't the first match of its kind. These kinds of matches have been happening for thousands of years, dating back to the ancient Olympiad. Grappler versus boxer has always been something where competitors have wanted to explore, and they've done that. But anytime you have someone with the immense notoriety and accomplishments of Muhammad Ali stepping into that forum, it certainly raises the stakes.
Indeed, and on June 26, 1976, Muhammad Ali flew to Japan to fight Antonio Inoki and was at the time Japan's iconic pro wrestling champion. They were fighting for the so-called Mixed Martial Arts Championship of the World, but there was no real belt at stake. It was to be broadcast to an audience of 1.4 billion people over 34 countries. That seems extremely risky for Ali, so why did the champ agree to do it?
I think there were a few reasons. You have to say first, the reality was money. He was promised $6 million, $3 million of which was guaranteed, supposedly. He ended up only walking away with $1.8 million, and that's one of the reasons why, in some circles, the match is considered a disaster. But I think for purposes of Ali and remembering why he in particular would be so interested in this, he understood that lineage, that history, that boxer versus grappler, and what it meant. I mean, we're talking about something, as I mentioned already, dates back thousands of years, but in the 1920s, Jack Dempsey and Ed Strangler Lewis, the newspapers were full of stories about a potential match between a boxer and a wrestler. And Ali knew that history, and he really embraced it. I think he wanted to test himself in that way. Of course, he considered himself the greatest of all time, but he was honest about it. That was the greatest of all time in boxing, and for him, mm-hmm. he wanted to be able to prove that he was the greatest of all time in fighting. And the way the match came together in the end, he had a chance to do that. It was really kind of a moment in time that I think needs to be remembered in a new light for people who don't have a recollection of it, and there surprisingly are many of them. Hopefully this has a chance to frame that for them, and for people who remember it in a certain way and maybe not in the most positive moment in Ali's career, I try to assign a new legacy to it, and I think I did that.
Josh, all of that said, Ali felt the need to convince the public that the fight was legit and went on The Tonight Show, among other places, to promote it. He told Johnny Carson at the time, quote, "Inoki can use his bare fists. He can use karate. This is serious. There's $10 million involved. I wouldn't pull a fraud on the public. This is real. There's no plan. The blood, the holds, the pain, everything is going to be real. I'm not here in this time of my life to come out with some phony action. I want you to know this is real," close quote. Ali was concerned, was he concerned that the people would think that he was just collecting a paycheck by beating up on a foreign wrestler?
I think he was more concerned about, really, this event was a confluence between the boxing world and the pro wrestling world. And I think he was concerned that people would think it was an exhibition. And initially, he was approached with a pro wrestling exhibition. He was going to take the fall, and it was going to be fake blood and the whole deal. Of course, Ali didn't take a fall for anyone. And at a certain point, it became evident this was going to be a real match. And I think he wrapped his mind around that. But clearly, there were a lot of elements of pro wrestling associated with this. The closed circuit in the U.S. was promoted in part by Bob Arum, who, of course, is a great boxing promoter. But the McMahon family, which at the time was running the WWWF up right. in the Northeast, they had a major role in doing the closed circuit around the country. A lot of venues where you had the closed circuit match was accompanied by pro wrestling exhibitions. And you know, Ali brought a famous pro wrestler with him to Japan, Classy Freddie Blassie. One of the things I do is explore in the book is Ali's connection to pro wrestling. And he came to Los Angeles in 1962 in particular. And I think that period rubbed off him in a great way. There was many pro wrestlers that he was around. It was a colorful atmosphere. And it only added to his brashness. Of course, his well, he enjoyed a guy like Gorgeous George Wagner. I mean, a very famous pro wrestler. Right. He was inspired by people like that. And I think all of that led to this match coming to fruition.
Josh Gross is author of the upcoming book, Ali versus Inoki, The Forgotten Fight That Inspired Mixed Martial Arts and Launched Sports Entertainment. This contest was controversial, but some of the real action was behind the scenes with various players in organized wrestling and pro boxing kind of jockeying for position behind the curtains. There was a general sense of apprehension over what would happen in the ring, and that led to all kinds of crazy hodgepodge of rules thrown together at the last minute. Josh, tell us about the bizarre idea considered if the fight were to get out of hand.
Sure. There was some talk behind the scenes that Vince McMahon was going to conspire with the referee, who's a great character, this person named Gene LaBelle, someone that Ali was around in 1962 mm-hmm. and got to know. Him and Freddie Blassie were very close, and there was talk that the pro wrestling side of the contest was really not sure about what was going to happen. They were losing control of the match itself. It wasn't going to be scripted. They didn't know what was going to happen. There was a potential that Inoki could legitimately hurt Muhammad Ali in this. And so there was some talk that perhaps, as pro wrestling will, you'll find a guy, take a razor, take a nick of a guy. And the talk and the rumor was that Gene LaBelle, the referee, was going to nick Ali. Could you imagine that? So apparently, as the story goes, Vince McMahon's father, Vince McMahon Sr., got wind of it, said, "Are you crazy? This is Muhammad Ali. I mean, this is nuts. Get back to the States." And Vince hightailed it back out of Japan. So that never happened. Gene LaBelle denied it. He said there was no truth to it. But there was enough rumors behind the scenes and enough talk behind the scenes. And, in fact, Vince McMahon actually wrote about it in Freddie Blassie's biography that was the plan. So there was definitely something to that.
This boxer versus grappler spectacle in many ways led to the rise of mixed martial arts as a major sport. Since then, there have been fighters from both worlds who said that they were interested in a mixed sports match, including Ronda Rousey and Leila Ali. Most recently, Conor McGregor stated that he wanted to fight Floyd Mayweather. Ali had the guts to do it. Do you think McGregor, Mayweather, or any of these people have the intestinal fortitude to actually go through with a match like this now?
Well, I'm sure McGregor would welcome a mixed match against Floyd Mayweather Jr. I don't think Floyd would return the favor. And, you know, you hit it on the head. He had the guts to do this, Ali. He risked so much. You know, the one thing that stood out to me as I was writing the book was that the man, and we know this to be true, but the man was just a fighter, and it didn't matter whether it was an opponent in the ring or the U.S. government. If he believed in something, if it was something that for him boiled inside, he was going to fight for it and stand for it. And there's no question that he took a risk here, and I'm not sure so many modern-day boxers would do that. The money's much different. The stakes are much different. And quite honestly, not a lot of people are built like Muhammad Ali. So I don't think you'll see the modern-day boxers jumping into it. Of course, it's a totally different circumstances now. When Ali participated in this, he was taking his style, and he was taking on a fighter of another style. Today, the mixed martial artists know all the styles, and they're complete fighters, and they're actually totally two independent sports. So it generally turns out pretty bad for fighters who are of any single discipline, boxers are included in that.
Absolutely fascinating piece of work. The book hits the stands next Tuesday, June 21st. Josh, what is the best way to secure a copy?
Well, you can get it now on pre-sale. It's on Amazon and other retailers. It's out in stores on the 21st, and certainly people seem to have responded well to it, and I'm excited for people to read it.
At a time when we are all remembering Muhammad Ali, here is yet another way to celebrate the greatest of all time. Josh Gross, thanks for making time for us this morning on NBC Sports Radio.
Thank you so much.
Great stuff. Wow, really interesting. You know, to think that, you know, you look at mixed martial arts now, and and MMA and how that goes on in wrestling and what that has evolved into and what's happened to boxing and Vince McMahon and Freddie Blassie and all these people involved. Really great stuff from Josh Gross. And that, again, comes out on the 21st, week from Tuesday, if I'm doing my calendar math properly. And is a fascinating piece of work, too, as I said. You're going to want to be able to get your hands on this because, you know, we're going to be doing a lot of celebrating, a lot of reminiscing about the greatest of all time in the coming weeks, and just some just a waterfall of material for you on the internet. The show is brought to you this morning by, among others, Sage by Hughes. You don't have to break the bank to protect your family. The easy-to-install Sage security solution lets you control your home security. Learn more at sagebyhughes.com. Coming up next, politics and sports colliding. Happens all the time. We'll see if it's going to yet again coming up soon. It's NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio. We're speaking of sports.